We're turning the game for our starting point to Ephesians and chapter 4. And we'll just read a couple of verses this time. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read from verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. We'll leave it just there. We thank the Lord for the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads in prayer and ask the Lord's help as we consider the scriptures together. Our gracious Father, as we open up thy book once again, we will be going through many verses of scripture. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to follow the trail and to follow the arguments which are there. And Lord, that it may be a benefit to our hearts and to our souls, and edifying to us, a building us up, Lord, that we might be able to stand in this evil day. Lord, we recognize that those who strive for masteries work hard upon their physical fitness. Lord, they build up muscle, they build up muscle groups. Lord, they work upon their technique, and Father, that they might be the master of their sport or of their skill. And Lord, we pray that thou would help us also as Christians to build up that which is necessary, that we might be able to stand in the evil day, for we are in a battle. And the scripture, even here in Ephesians, tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And Lord, we pray that thou would teach us therefore to war. Help us, Lord, to make our hands strong. Father, we remember this song of Moses, how that he said, our God is a God of war. And Lord, we fight not with those physical weapons that some would fight with. But Lord, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And Father, we pray that we might know the weapons, and that we might know how to wield them, and that we might be also strong and in the army of God, that we might pull together, Lord, that we might know what it is to be in a unit, what it is to be in a battalion of thy people, striving together for the glory of God and for Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray, help us that we might not break ranks, Lord, that we might not follow after our own ideas, but Lord, that we might be strong in the Lord, hearing the word of the great captain of our salvation, who will lead us, who will guide us, and who will give us victory. For thou hast said unto us, be not afraid, I have overcome the world. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst give us wisdom and help us to be about the Lord's work, that we might glorify thy name. In whatsoever position we may be in this world, we are where thou wouldst have us to be at this moment. For, Lord, there is nothing which occurs which thou dost not know. And, Father, we pray that we might be ready to give an answer to those who inquire of the faith that is in us, that we might be instant in season and out of season, and Lord, that we might stand true to thy word. We know, Father, that Peter of old made as it were, almost a vow to thee that though all men would forsake thee, yet would he not forsake thee. And yet, Lord, thou didst say, before the cock crow, thou wilt deny me thrice. And so he did. And so, Father, we pray that thou wilt help us to take heed to the warning which is given to us, that if a man thinks that he stand, let him take heed lest he fall. We are aware of our weaknesses. We are aware of our sinfulness. We are aware of our failings. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to strive to overcome those weak might be the best that we can be, and that we might stand to serve thee, either in the front line or in the supporting ranks, Lord, that we might stand behind thy people. So hear us, we ask thee, and make us strong in the Lord, in the power of thy might. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. We have over these last few weeks been thinking upon this verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We are too quick to give place to the devil, it seems, and we are too quick to give in and to give up and to think, well, I'm never going to overcome this sin, or I'm never going to be able to be what I really ought to be. And we give place to the devil. We say, well, the devil's too strong for me, or the devil has too much power in this world that I might be able to stand against him. But that's not true, because if God is for us, who can be against us? And can the devil stand before Christ? Even the devil's greatest plan of all, which was to have Christ killed upon the cross of Calvary, failed. He had him killed, but the very death of Christ was the victory which Christ had aimed for from the beginning, and it was the destruction of the wicked one. So even all of the plans of the devil against us, even all of the machinations of the servants of hell against us, will be turned to the glory of God. You know, the scripture tells us that there will be a falling away in the last days. It tells us that as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But that, as God tells us, is all in his purpose. And when those things come to pass, then he tells us, look up, for your salvation draweth nigh. God is sovereign, and God is victorious over all things. We are told here in this verse that to be angry and to sin not, and not to give place to the devil. Be angry. Be angry with the devil. Be angry with sin. Be angry with yourself when you fall to the temptations which do so easily beset us. And there is no temptation taken you, the Apostle Paul says, but such as is common to man. You know, sometimes we think we're the only one that's tempted in this way. There's nobody else that falls to the temptation that I fall to. There's no one else who is weak like I am. But let me tell you, there are many. And there are many who have fallen to exactly the same temptation. And there are many who also the Lord has given victory over it. And it may have taken some time. It may have taken even years to overcome whatever it is which is besetting you. But we are to strive on. And we are to come to Christ, remembering there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So let's pick ourselves up. Let us, as it says in that old song, I think it is, let us pick ourselves up, dust ourselves down, and start all over again. We are to keep on and press on and to be victorious. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Your provocation, again, as the Greek word there is for wrath, your provocation, let it not go down. You are being provoked continually. The devil comes, he provokes you. Sin provokes you. Don't become complacent in those things and accept them, but strive against them, fight against them, be angry, sin not, and give no place to the devil. We've looked at some things, and we'll just do the main headings just to remind you of what those things are. First of all, we considered meditating on the objectives, the happiness, the holiness, and the harmony. This is what we want. This is what we are striving towards. And it's a good thing always to remember what we're striving towards. Let's keep positive. Let's see what the purpose is. Let's see where we're going and not keep looking at what the troubles are at the moment. Remember, if you know the Pilgrim's Progress, how Christian came to a point where there were lions down by the path, and he had to go past them, and he was afraid. And he was afraid to go past those lions in case they caught him. But when he fixed his eyes upon the purpose that he had before him, and he walked straight down the path, he discovered that the lions were chained and they couldn't reach him. So it's a good thing to have our eye upon what the target is. Holiness, What does it say here? That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's have our eyes fixed upon that. Let's be pressing forwards all the whole time. Meditate on the objectives. And then we thought about militarizing through the ordinances. We have prayer. Prayer is a weapon in our hand. We have the scriptures, which we are to wield as a sword. I was saying in prayer just a moment ago, we need to strengthen those things that we have. If you are to be an expert swordsman, you need to practice. And you need to learn. Last year we were on holiday. We went to a castle and there were some people there teaching the children how to sword fight. And I learned some things from these instructions about how people used to fight with swords. And it was very interesting indeed. And there were real techniques. It wasn't just a matter of sticking someone with a pointy end. There were actual techniques of using and wielding a sword and how you use a shield and so on. And we need to know how to use the scriptures. This is our sword. We need to know what the scriptures are. We need to know. And there are some, sadly, even amongst Christians, who don't even know which end is the pointy end of the word of God. We need to know how to hold it. We need to know how to handle it. We need to know how to wield off the blows which are coming toward us. We need, like the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was tempted in the wilderness, to be able to deflect the blows and to quote the scriptures. And to show where the errors are. We need to know these things. We spoke also of baptism, which is almost like joining the army. It is saying, yes, I'm on the Lord's side. And joining in and saying, yes, I'm standing by the Lord. And the communion of the saints. And the remembrance of what Christ has done for us. Dying upon the cross of Calvary. And the fellowship that we have with him, and the fact that he sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And the Spirit himself also makes intercession for us. We talk about minding the opposition. Of course, it's very important if we're in a battle to know what the opposition is. We need to know who he is. We want to know what his purposes are. And we need to know how to defeat him. And then we need to manage the onslaught. We need to recognize that we can become fatigued, that we can become irritable and insecure and incautious. And we were talking about actual physical fatigue sometimes. Sometimes we enter into battle and we're tired and we fail. How many times, I wonder, if we are to examine our own lives, how many times can we look back and say, well, I sinned that sin. I succumbed to that particular temptation. But it was because I was tired. Because if I had just got up in the morning, I would have had more strength. I would have said, no, I don't want to do that. But we've fallen into it because we were weary. I wonder why it is that the scripture says that those who do evil in the night. Because people stay up late. Why is it that more iniquity is done in the night season than is done during the daytime? Why is it that that's the time when people get drunk? That's the time when wives are beaten. That's the time when people are stabbed and so on in weariness. When people are short-tempered and so on. We need to remember the scripture which tells us he giveth his beloved sleep. Our complacency also. And the propaganda of the wicked one. Sometimes we are overcome by stress, by fear. We're not to be overcome by those things. And then we were thinking last time, 2 weeks ago now it was, about maximizing the opportunities. We were thinking about suffering and how that the Lord blesses particularly in suffering. Sometimes we are brought low by suffering. The suffering, our own suffering or the suffering of those around us. But God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And it was when we were suffering the pangs of conscience that we cried out to the Lord for salvation. And while we were yet enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. Those are the times when God draws particularly nigh. We need to maximize those opportunities. Draw nigh to him. Know his strength. And in a continuation of that, then, we are considering today maximizing the opportunities. And we're thinking today particularly about our service. We read together from Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. We just turn there for a moment. And we see here the argument of the Apostle Paul and the service which he was seeking to do. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, or the children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. You see, here is the service that we are doing for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, it tells us, Jesus says to those who are gathered around him, he says, that we are a city set upon a hill. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. He doesn't go back to give any explanation of that whatsoever. He goes on to talk about letting your light so shine before men. But what is the city that is set upon a hill? It is a city which can be seen from all directions. And a Christian is seen from all directions. We are seen. If you are a Christian, then people are watching you. You are marked. And they are seeing, looking to see what you do and what you speak and how you live. They are waiting for you to fail. They are waiting to say, as the psalmist says, that they gather around him, they say, aha, aha. And that's what the world is seeking to do around us. We are a city set upon a hill. We are shining forth so that we are lights in the world. It says here, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Now we're in this battle. It's no good for a child of God to say, well, you know, I don't want to be in the battle. We are in the battle. The devil is fighting against us. He seeks to destroy us, and he seeks to destroy the work of God as much as he can. And as much damage as he can inflict, he will seek to do. And he has done on many occasions, where people have fallen, when people have been set up on pedestals, and perhaps even those who have been set upon pedestals have allowed it to be so from the pride of their own heart. I always say in a congregation to everyone in the congregation, never set someone on a pedestal. Never think that the pastor is more strong than you are. Never think that the pastor can't fall just the same way as you can. Never think that, because there are so many who have fallen. And then everybody gets depressed and they think, well, if he can fall, anybody can fall. But we're all men. We can all fall. We can all fail. We can all succumb. Never do that. The only person that we are to look up to is Jesus Christ. He is our head. And my purpose as a pastor is to point to Christ. Look at Jesus Christ. It is him who has overcome the world. It is him who has defeated sin. It is he who has risen from the dead, who has set before us this great victory. Look unto Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. My purpose as a pastor is to point you to the scriptures, which say, look unto Jesus. Look unto him. He has gained the victory. And there is not one who is higher than another in this world. Different positions, perhaps, as the Apostle Paul is set amongst us, first apostles and then prophets and so on. So there are different positions and people do different things. But before God, we are all equal, because we are all sinners. Because we have all failed, because our whole standing is only the blood of Christ which has been shed for us. And here the apostle is saying to them, when you are about the work of God, do it without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless, unharmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. And he says that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. We'll come to see that in a moment. But here, first of all, under this subject of service, is attitude. What is our attitude? We are the children of God. We are in the army of God. We are shining forth one way or another. And if our light is darkened, then that is to the detriment of the work of God. So let us shine forth with a pure light as much as lieth in us. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, the Apostle John makes mention of those who say that they are Christians. And he says there in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You see, love is something which permeates the child of God. We are to love one another. And as the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. God is love. And God dwells within us if we are his. So let us love one another. And not just one another within the church of God, but we are to love those who are outside also. We are to be a strength to them also. So here we have the attitude that we need in which to fight in this world. We need an attitude of love. Love will overcome. Now the world has taken hold of this idea of love overcoming all things, but it doesn't understand love. It doesn't understand love. It thinks of love as a passion. But love is not a passion. Love is a command. In the Word of God, the Scripture says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. That is a command. How can you command someone into a passion? People fall in love, we are told. It is a physical attraction, or it is a mental attraction. It is something which causes you to go, I don't know, Brenda used to say, all over the same. I'm not quite sure what that meant. But then when people try to explain what love is, they don't know what to say either. But that's not what love is in the Scripture. Love is a command. God says, love me with all your heart. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. God says, love your enemies. Now, this is a passion. If this is a kind of a feeling which comes upon one, how can you possibly love your enemies? Here is someone who is seeking to destroy you in any way they can. They're seeking to get you down, seeking to make you depressed, seeking to annoy you in every way they possibly can. And you're to feel some passionate love for them. What does this mean then? It's not just a passionate thing which the Scripture speaks about. It is a whole attitude of mind. It is looking upon someone. It is seeking to help them, strengthen them, encourage them, to be a blessing to them, to turn them unto Christ. Because we are shining as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. So it's an attitude, then it's an activity. An activity. Now the Apostle Paul here is speaking about holding forth the word of life, which is of course an activity. It is bringing the word of God before people and telling them of their need of salvation. In 1 Corinthians 16, which is back in Bibles a little bit, to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, these are interesting words. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboureth. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now we can become addicted to all kinds of things, can't we? Now we can become addicted to smoking. We can become addicted to drugs. We can get addicted to alcohol. We can become addicted to sex, so we're told. We can become addicted to all kinds of things in this world. But here are people who have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. It has become something so passionate with them that whatsoever they can do, it is a ministry to the saints, the ministry of the saints, that they may help them. And we are told here not only to be about that work, but also to help such. For it says, submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboureth. We are to be working for the Lord, working for the glory of God. It goes on from that verse that verse 17, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Here is an encouragement. Here is a work of God. Here is an action, an activity, an attitude. We are to love one another, but in an activity, we are to serve one another, to encourage one another, As we have seen from Ephesians, on many occasions in this series, we have seen that we are to edify one another, build one another up. Are we about that work? Are we about that service? Are we an encouragement or a discouragement? Are we murmurers and complainers? Or are we pressing forward to say, well, what can I do? Can I help you in some way? Is there something I can do in this situation? Or is there some way that I can lend my hand? Is there something that I can pray about? Not everybody wants to share their whole lives with everybody in the congregation. And there may be some things which are embarrassing to us even to mention to others and ask them to pray. But we can pray for one another generally. And there are sometimes there are things that we can pray for. We might be praying about a decision to change a job. We may be praying about a decision concerning a relationship or some other thing. Whatever it may be. It may be about exams. Maybe worried about particular exams. It could be all kinds of things. But let's encourage one another. Let's pray for one another. Let's be in this together. But we are in this together. And we can either be in this together fighting individually, or we can fight together. The great benefit of the armies of this particular country in time past was the discipline. The reason England was winning so many battles was its discipline. And we need a discipline within the people of God and within the work of God. In Philippians 4 verse 3 he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. The women who laboured with me in the gospel. You see, we can all be about the work of God, and we all should be. In Linslade, we studied through the book of Romans for a number of years, and in the 12th chapter of Romans, it talks about the offices of deacon and so on. But where do deacons come from? Where do elders come from? Where are they chosen from? They're chosen from the congregation. We look out upon the congregation, and those who are blameless, those who serve the Lord, those who have risen, as it were, in people's esteem to the top of the pile, so to speak, those are the ones who are chosen to press onwards. But they're made a deacon on one day. Have they changed from the one day, from the day previous, or were they already doing those things? See, we should all be about that work. We should all be about that service. We should all be ready to do the work of God. And perhaps someone is given an office and they're called by that name, but everybody else should be doing that work anyway. We should all be about the Lord's work. We have been called to serve Him. There should be an activity amongst us. We think also of the activity of unity. The Lord Jesus Christ, again, in that great Sermon on the Mount, said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And Paul the Apostle says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In fact, let's just turn that to that for a moment, Romans chapter 12. This is the chapter which I was mentioning a moment ago as well about the offices. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. It's a good chapter to read if you're going to read this afternoon. I hope you are on the Lord's Day, that you're giving this day to the Lord and to strengthening, encouraging yourselves and one another in Christ. It's a good chapter to read, this chapter. But there in verse 17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So here it says, then, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, that means that we are to live peaceably with all men. Now, there won't always be peace, because if the person you're seeking to live peaceably with desires to fight with you, you can't stop them. If they desire to keep goading you, even though you are turning the other cheek, then there's very little you can do about it. But on your part, you are to live peaceably with them. You are not to retaliate, but you are to live peaceably with them, as much as lieth in you, it says. And the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So we leave that part of it to the Lord. He is always just, and he will not repay in vengeance above that which it needs to be. And nothing escalates apart from what is in the heart or in the mind of the opponent in this situation. But then in verse 20, it seems as though the Lord is saying, well, you can get your own back this way. But I'm going to suggest to you that's not what the Lord is saying. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now that sounds as if you're going to bring more judgment upon them. And so, well, this is the way you do it. Instead of fighting back, just be nice to them and they'll get punished even more at the end. I don't think that's what the Lord is saying there, or what the apostle is saying there either, as he quotes that verse. But the coals of fire, I believe, is the conscience of that person. You're putting a weight upon them to think. You're making them think the whole time, well, this person is not retaliating. This person is not nasty to me. And as the Lord begins to work upon their hearts too, as you're praying for them, it is beginning to work upon them so that they are thinking, well, why am I persecuting this person when they do nothing to me? And we may not be able to make them think that, but the Lord can make them think that. We're about the Lord's work. We are to shine as lights in the world. We are to hold forth the word of life. And if the question comes, well, why don't you retaliate? And let me tell you, it's happened. It has happened to many a Christian. Why don't you retaliate? Because the Lord is with me. Because the Lord has forgiven me. Because the Lord has forgiven me when I was an enemy. When I was doing to him what you're doing to me, he forgave me. While I was yet an enemy, Christ died for me. And we're preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. We're preaching the gospel in action. And by the grace of God, we'll be preaching the gospel in word also. There is to be an action. But there is a support also. We've spoken here, my heading just says saying, but it's more than just saying, it's also doing. But then also praying. We are to support one another. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are a support mechanism as well. You know, some people can talk, can't they? I rely an awful lot on my wife, who can talk. Most of you know that. But she can talk to anybody. And I find it very difficult to talk to people. I don't know what to say, for a start. And I sort of want to say something to them and think, well, I don't know what to say, really. But she always knows what to say. So I let her lead off, and then I try and get a word in a little bit later on, which is very difficult, but and try to enter into the conversation that way. But there are some people who have particular gifts, aren't there? We may not have that gift. We may not have that ability. There are people who can work with children in a tremendous way, and other people, children just don't like them. I don't know why. But we can get behind the people who can do these things. We can stand behind them. We can help them. We can give to them all that they need. There are some people in a battle, in a war, who perhaps are a good shot. And there they are, they have the rifle on the top, and they're firing the bullets, and they're doing a good job in the battle. And someone else there is not such a good shot, but boy, they can go and get the ammunition, and they can pass it up. They can make sure that the next magazine is loaded. They can do all of that. And we need support within the church. It's not all to be left to one person. The one person might be able to do this or might be able to do that. But everybody else can help them to do it. And we need to pull together and to be strong in the Lord. There is a service. And I'm just going to jump a lot of what I wanted to say because our time is gone. But I want to draw your attention finally to the advantage. The advantage. We began with that verse in Philippians 2, verses 12 to 17. And in verse 16, the apostle says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The apostle is looking forward to the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is saying, if you are serving the Lord, after I've preached the gospel to you, after I've told you these things, and you take hold of it, and you do those things, then what rejoicing there will be in the presence of Christ in the day of the Lord. I will rejoice with you that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And in verse 17 it says, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Your sacrifice, your service of faith, if I be offered upon it. Strange words. But if you think about the offering of old, something was put on the offering. There were two things, in fact. One was salt. The offering's always with salt. And here, the apostle, so often is the salt in the offering. But also the frankincense. Frankincense was often offered on top of an offering as a sweet savour before the Lord. He says, if I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I may not be there. I may not be a part of what you're doing. But I will enter into it. If you hear what I have to say, I will rejoice with you and you will rejoice with me. In 1 Thessalonians 2:17, let's just look at the verses. 1 Thessalonians 2. But we, brethren, see how he's involved even there. He's not there with them, but his heart is with them. Endeavoured the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown, that's the victor's crown of rejoicing or of glorying? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. They will rejoice together. They will serve the Lord together. There will be a reward which comes to them. And there will be a reward which comes to him. Both him that soweth and he that reapeth rejoice together. We talk about maximizing opportunities. There are opportunities all around us. Again, I was preaching, well, still am actually on the series, although it's somewhat truncated in these days, in Linslade, on the words of Christ. And on one of those occasions, the Lord Jesus was up by the Sea of Galilee, had his back to the sea. And a crowd gathered around him. And it's very difficult to preach at the seaside. You have the sound of the waves behind you and this noise overcoming all the time. And there's no sounding board. Back in the old churches years ago, you used to have a sounding board above the pulpit because you didn't have microphones. And so there was a board behind the preacher and there was a sounding board over the top as well, which would deflect the sound and send it out into the congregation. But with your back to the sea, there's nothing. So what did Jesus do? Here was an opportunity. Here was a crowd of people gathered together. Not many people could face him because they couldn't get all the way around him. And so he said to Peter, can we use your boat? And he gets into Peter's boat and he pushes out from the shore. And he comes out a bit from the shore. More people can face him on the sea. And now his voice is coming across the sea with this great open space. And he takes the opportunity. And so many times we find that Christ takes the opportunity. Instead of saying, well, there's no good preaching here, come and see me later. He gets in the boat. There's a boat there. He uses it. He pushes out a little and he preaches to them from there. There are opportunities to serve the Lord all around us. Every moment of every day, there are opportunities. It may not be speaking. It may only be acting. It may only be doing a small thing here or there, an act of kindness. We can serve the Lord. Let us maximize those opportunities, glorify God, and praise Him.